I think it's difficult for us to realize how serious Almighty God is in telling us how to relate to one another. From the beginning of time, the Father saw his Christ at the depth of the being of every human being. He saw his Son there, finally incarnate in Jesus our Lord. But this goes before that. In fact, you know, I think it's a great grace to take the Word of God in the Old Testament very seriously and try to ask the Lord to give us a vision of how he looks on human beings. This is a very profound text. Huh? Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the entire Israelite community and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, Adonai, am holy." Now, what does that mean? Does that mean God keeps the commandments? What does it mean to say that God is holy? Kadosh is the word that's on our tabernacle. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Holy, holy, holy. Actually, the holiness of God is his ineffability. But if you watch closely in the scriptures, the way he teaches us about his ineffability, his totally otherness, as the philosophers would say, it comes down to his love. You look at Hosea 11, which I think we have sometime during Lent. You know, when Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Israel, I called my son, and I taught him how to walk. I carried him. I kept him next to my cheek. See, but then, you know, the punishment that, because they turned away from me. But how can I give you up, O Israel? How can I treat you like Adama or Ebuim? I cannot. My own heart turns against me, for I am God, not man. And my ineffability, my holiness, my grandeur, my unspeakable being is love. That's the metaphysics of God. You look at the Trinity and what do you see? One God enjoying one another in love. So when he creates us, he expects us to be one human race enjoying one another in love. And when he pours out his blood for us, he expects us to be one church enjoying one another in love. It is so profound. And we take it so lightly. One of the things the Lord tells us here, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. The rabbis said that the reason the Second Temple was destroyed was because they did not obey that commandment. Think about that. I'm trying to show you how great and holy people have always realized this. And then, when that old covenant is finally fulfilled and brought to its perfection, we have the gospel. I was hungry and you fed me. But then, welcome. I think we should pray for this. This is not some sort of pious. The Lord Jesus himself says, "I will judge you on what you have done to the least of my brothers." Because that's me. He told Paul, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you?" "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Now, even before Jesus came, he was present. But you see, he's present in the depth of every human being. St. Augustine has a marvelous sermon where he says, "I am in glory. I am surrounded by the glory of my Father. I am worshipped by angels, but I still suffer hunger and thirst. I am still neglected. I am still tortured. I am still..." And that's a mystery we have yet to plumb. It's when we come to intercede and the Holy Spirit starts to take over our life that we realize that there's one poor man reaching from one end of the universe to the other, crying out, and we can join him. In fact, his prayer takes over our prayer. I suppose, you know, if we manage to help the poor enough, well, we're okay. But we've fallen so far short of what these texts today are telling us. Even the in the Old Covenant, if a man works for you all day as a day laborer and you don't pay him, I will take care of it. He calls to me and I will hear him. And you better look out. And then look at the way we treat one another. Look at the way we have this... You know, there's this great, I don't know if you all read it yet, this wonderful proposal by this great Italian economist, you know, embraced, seconded by the Prime Minister of England. You want to solve the financial problem of the world? Build up the poor nations. Now we have trading partners. Now it's so genial. Instead of worrying about our stuff and our houses and our whatever and our bills, and they're all going down the tubes anyway, take these billions and trillions of dollars and build the other nations. And you know what Jesus would say? "We're a mess, right? I mean, we're killing babies by the million, you know." He would begin to lift that guilt from us. "I was hungry. I was persecuted in Sudan. My government was ruined by poverty. And you came to help me. And I will never forget it." We should pray a lot for that proposal. Because, I mean, this isn't concocted by a couple of university seniors trying to think of something nice to write about. These are people whose lives is in this field, especially that prime minister. I mean, he knows. And this is not impossible. We're pumping money into our banks and our businesses and our whatever to keep us happy. Those days are gone. Look at the clothes you're wearing. They come from China, the Dominican Republic. Let's get real. And we should pray for that vision. Oh, the Lord would be so pleased. He would lift so much of the punishment that we deserve. He would lift off us if we would care for him and those who suffer.